All right. So thought about some things, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Thought about your projects, those things that you want to manifest. All right. So now we're opening it up for questions. And so Daniel will give the microphone to the first person. There we go.
Hi, Galactus. It's Phil.
Hello, Phil.
So, your last, the morning topic definitely brought up more of the conversation that we had on Friday night.
Yes.
And basically, I'm in a... I've gotten into a place of, okay, well... I'm starting to build momentum with the business and project that I started back in November. And it's definitely starting to ramp up. And my awareness, as I had mentioned, is that I really want to also be putting my intention on what I feel is more of a calling for me. And so without shooting myself in the foot and breaking momentum, because it's necessary for me to bring in the income. And I think it's very important that I continue to give energy to where I've been going. What would be some suggestions that you have and how I could most elegantly spin the two plates, as it were?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the way you've been trained... is that, and this is everyone's training, is that you can't spin two plates at once. If you take your attention off your primary objective, it could collapse on you. There's a sense of fear, lack of trust, an inability to rely on the flow that comes from. Inability to rely on the flow comes from the awareness of not having enough energy from the consensus reality to build the momentum, and perhaps not having enough energy from forces of nature and your crew to feel that you can lean on a momentum. Once you have a momentum going, however, and you can feel a certain confidence in that momentum, then you know that you've processed enough, you've released enough of the drag, released enough of the resistance, that it will indeed be. It will unfold. It will get there. There will be an anticipation of the next openings, of the next possibilities. There will be an expectation that it will get to a certain place that you are desiring it to be. As you work towards that, and we would highly recommend that would be your first focus, when you get to that place where that feels comfortable enough for you, that you're not scared that your attention is what's holding it fragilely together, right? Then you can begin to play with other creative aspects and expressions of yourself. But if you want to get something going, you first have to trust in its direction and its fulfillment. And so you'll find after we do the meditation later, where we call upon the forces, and you can feel the energies and the supports and the power of the forces, that will make it feel more realistic for you and more feasible that what momentum you're trying to achieve, even though its intention is about strictly pretty much money. Nevertheless, if you can feel that sense of momentum and build that sense of flow and feel yourself in these waves, you will also have the freedom to be able to explore the other. Now, one thing though we want to suggest though, if you are doing it just for the form, okay, I've got to do this because I've got to have this money to survive, to da 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 da, and so the focus is on the manifestation of that money, then you'll lose energy from that. And so it'll be harder for you to get that momentum going. So here's what we would suggest that you do first. And anybody who's trying to do a manifestation, and the major focus and the major purpose of it is financial. And that's really it. It's not a sense of personal fulfillment, of destiny, of this is my great creative expression. This is in alignment with spirit and soul and moves me on, et cetera, et cetera. It's for money. What you want to do is really go back to what we said earlier, is remind yourself who you are, your reality creator. Part of why you came back to this physical plane, to do some completions and wrap-ups of many, many lifetimes and so forth, is to learn how to create. So let that be your objective. You see? Get curious and engaged about the process of creating the success, creating the abundance, creating clients or whatever, creating the work. Looking at maybe getting your, maybe you have some kind of calendar or, date book or something like that. And you open it up and you look at, the week and ahead, or look at several weeks ahead, and you start imagining yourself filling in the amount of time in there that you want to. Maybe even kind of write down, here's the blocks of time I'm willing to put into my work. And you're writing it down as it feels right for you. And then start imagining then and feeling how good it would be to have that work there, and how satisfying it is that, that you have clothes and you have food and you have transportation, and being grateful for the roof over your head and family and everything. On just feeling that sense of that connection, and how you're creating this and putting the pieces together and taking care of the resistances and moving energy on and so on. So let that be your objective instead of money. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, as you start getting into that, you're getting into the primal reason why you're here on the planet. It will scratch a certain itch in your destiny energy, because this is something you wanted to do. You wanted to learn how to manifest physically. Very important. It's not something that you're just, okay, I'm going to come and be physical, and then if I want to, I'll do a little bit of creation and manifesting. No. You came in and you said, I want to come in specifically and do it the way I'm doing it so that I can play with this manifestation. So prioritize it that way. It shifts the energy. It makes it a lot more interesting. You understand?
Yes, I do.
All right. And you also feel that you're much more doing your magical, powerful reality creator work. Okay, so you can really be more of you, the light being, keeping your energy field expansive. Now, as you get into that process and see it starting to come and seeing it starting to just kind of flow on its own, and every now and then you have to ooch it a little bit this way and say, okay, no, I like it a little bit more that way, ooch it this way, ooch it that way, etc. And where you start to feel that the momentum is kicking in, then you take a little time off for yourself and have some fun. And this is before you go into this calling, okay? See, a lot of times that sense that there is a calling, you want to clear, if there's any of this debris in there, you need to clean this out too. You have a little fun, relax, and then think about it. Just kind of casually think about it. Not sit down, okay, now I only have a limited amount of time. I got to really, you know, get my notepad. And, okay, now I've got to write on this calling thing. You know, I got to get this. Yeah, I got to get this started now. But don't go that way. This is, you know, you've got a momentum work going. You're learning to create. So over here, have a little bit more fun first, because fun is a balance. And you need that balance. And your body needs the balance. Okay, because your body's tired of being so stressed. Poor body, it's so stressed, got so much to do. I got to push harder. Oh, I got to work longer. I'm so tired of that. So you want to give your body a little break. Have some fun with your body. Okay, have a little fun. Think about it. Kind of like wake up in the morning and before you jump out of bed, just lie there and think about it. How much fun it'd be to do this and that, et cetera, et cetera. Now, do you have a sense of what your calling is? Are you seeking your calling?
I've got a pretty good sense of what it is.
All right. Now, you need to take out this debris out of calling. There is a, in your consensus reality, there's a concept about a calling. All right? And that concept about a calling is used as an antidote to shame. It doesn't get rid of it. It basically explains it. It somehow gives a sense of, oh, I don't have to deal with that because I have a calling. There is a sense of superiority of energy about it, that this calling is greater than all these other things that I do. But the calling is always, in the consensus reality, dear one, calling is generally always in potential. Callings generally don't get, quote unquote, fulfilled really in the consensus. Or they end up being something else. They seem to be either a service, or they end up being some kind of martyr experience, or they end up being a creative project that a person is just doing a creative expression. But that calling is putting an extra power, an extra sizzle to it to kind of, It's almost as an expiation, a redemption, you might say, from all the struggles and the frustrations and all the debris of the world. It has a sense of lifting you above it. It's superior somehow. And you have to take that off. If there's any residue of that in your sense of calling, that has to be removed. Do you understand?
I do.
Okay, because until you do that, your calling doesn't become what it purely and truly is, which is a flame, you might say, a flame moving out of passion, spreading out of your body, just kind of flaring. You see, your calling is a flaring of your fire. It's generally callings do not have a lot of sustainability. And that's why a lot of people follow their calling and then after a while they say, somehow or another it just doesn't, I can't see, it just doesn't seem to do it for me. I must have gotten the wrong message. I must have gotten the wrong signals or maybe I've done enough. I don't know. It doesn't have the sizzle anymore. So if you can get that out of there, then what the calling then transmutes into something more authentic, which is that flare of your passion. Do not expect that energy, that project, to be a long sustained project, because once again, when it's a creative flare from your passion, it's got to also have certain cycles. And do not apply the graph to it, okay? Height, remember? Here's the point of beginning, of the now, height, or the amount, and here's time going out to the right, and a diagonal line is here I go to, here's to the calling, right? It's not going to be that. It's going to, basically, you're called to do something that is an expression of yourself deep within your soul and your spirit. It must emerge and be expressed. And it might be just like, bloop. And you'll be done. And we don't want you to go, what? I did something wrong. What? Where did it go? Where did it go? Oh no, I'm back to square one. What am I going to do now? You see, because it's something to follow and it has its own rhythms and it may be short and intense and sweet. It may go longer. It may be a long one, which may be off and on for a couple of years. But like any creative project, you know, like in L.A., as a movie capital of the country, you know, a movie is filmed in a certain period of time. Yes, there's a lot of preparation. The scripts have to be written. Everybody has to be brought together. The sets have to be designed. The costumes have to be put together, blah, 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 blah. And everything has to be done. And then it's filmed and so forth. And then it's in the cutting room and so on and so on. But there is a point where everybody who's involved in the film, it's over. That film doesn't go on and on and on a nice diagonal. It's not an ongoing thing. It's a creative project, and it has an up, a down, and it has a kind of a flow, and then it's done. And then there's a rest. And in the rest, you get the creative spark for the next wave, the next cycle. So realize that there's an evolutionary energy that comes with a quote-unquote calling. You understand?
I do, and I wouldn't even necessarily call this a calling so much as something I continually ask myself, what would I do if I knew I couldn't fail and for money? And this is the first time I've been inspired by something that I was like, wow, this is something I really love to do and not feel bound so much. And it does spark my passion.
Right. So you have this other thing that you're working on, creating a momentum on, for basic money. So you have this second factor, which is your creative expression. All right? If you start focusing on that as a financial possibility, then you will start draining energy out of your first one.
I do understand that, and I feel like it's very important that I continue.
You need to continue the first one so that it gives you your financial foundation. And frankly, once you get a momentum, even if it's something you don't want to do the rest of your life, okay, once you get a momentum you can rely on, whereas a certain amount of money you can just pretty much count on more or less, that if there's a, you look at your schedule, a calendar, and you say, oh, here's some opens calendar and I'd like to have this much business, it will come in. That's when you know you're on momentum. Is that when all you have to say is, I'm ready to get some more clients, I'm ready to do a few more hours, I think that'd be a good thing to do. Phone rings, email comes in, whatever, and you got it. When you have that level, then as you work this thing that has so much more passion, so much more sizzle for you, once you've got the momentum established there, there'll come a point where you are ready to do this second thing for money, and as you start building the momentum there, once the momentum's over here, you will move the energy of momentum from this to that. When the vehicle is at that place to where it could bring in about the same amount of money that you make over here, over in the second arena, you will move the energy of that first arena you've established. That momentum can just be rechanneled. And that's how a lot of people just keep leveraging themselves up to, from one level to another level to another level to another level. But in your culture, it is so common for people to get something started, and because the way that they are, like you, a very creative kind of really by your nature, you're much more spontaneous. You're not really a person who likes long-term, you know, routine type of things. You're just not that person. So you're going to be pulled away. You're going to be challenged by creative ideas over here. Also, so if you don't do it this way, you also have to recognize that in your consensus reality, generally most people mess up there. It's a critical juncture for creative people. Because when your passion flares up, it's really hard to keep going and doing the routine stuff. It's hard to keep your heart there. That's why you have to really get that momentum going and look at it as an exercise, as an experience of reality creatorship. Otherwise, you'll do just what the consensus reality people do. They drop this and go to that. And then they struggle with that for a while. And when they just seem to be starting to do something with that, then they have another spark that's much more creative and they go to that. And they just keep dropping stuff. You have people who wear lots of hats and never get really fully thrilled about anything and over a period of time. And that's in the consensus. That's a common thing. Another thing to be aware of, too, is that when you've got something going and then you start to have all sorts of creative juice flaring up and all sorts of excitement and so on, kind of distracting you and pulling you off to the side, recognize that's also a younger self activating that you might want to really look at a bit more closely as well. And you need to clear this one as well, and then you'll be really pretty home free with it. This one is what we call the terminology given to it by Lazarus. It's the extended adolescent or the young adult. It's the somewhere between like 18 to 23 year old, somewhere in there. This self loves to dream big dreams, has tremendous creative excitement, enthusiasm, is really imaginative, fabulous to brainstorm with this self. Just, oh man, can give you visions of success, and you can get so high, and the fantasies are so rich, and it just feels so good, and it's just so fantastic. But when it comes down to rolling up your sleeves and getting everything done, the young adult says, I could fail, I'm out of here. And the abandonment of the young adult self, The over-engagement, let's put it this way, the over-engagement of the young adult initially to distract you and pull you into all sorts of exciting side venues, and then the tendency for it to abandon you when you start putting your adult attention and work focus there. So as soon as it's work, it's like, work! This would be very dating for those of you who might remember the Dobie Gillis show. Dobie Gillis had a friend who was Maynard. And Maynard didn't want to work. He was like a beatnik, and he wanted to hang out and play his drums and just, you know, pass the time of day. So any time there was work that would show up, he would go, work! Like, and he would disappear. Absolutely the young adult. What do you mean you're talking about? The way they function. So when you feel the flare of your passion, play with the young adult, but recognize that when it gets down to really following through, that flare of passion may not be there. It has to be stoked into warm, rich embers. It has to be built and massaged like a beautiful, long-term, loving and caring relationship. It's got to have some warmth and strength to it. But that thrill, the excitement of the passion, may most likely disappear because the young adult says, I'm out of here. This is getting too close to, success versus failure, and I don't want to play on that edge anymore, and I don't want to work, and I just want the dreaming part. That's the fun part. I just want to do the imagination and the creative and the fun part. I just, you know, so only engage your young adult for the fun part, because then they'll be right there with you. But don't be fooled. It's not you. It's not you, the adult, okay? Utilize their gift of creativity. They're very imaginative. But be aware that it could be a false calling, so to speak, if the young adult's involved. So if you take those two things out of there, your pathway will pretty much be clear. Does that make sense to you?
Crystal clear.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
We're glad you brought that up, because that is often a very critical piece in the momentum building. Because a young adult will sabotage your momentum. If you are building your trying to build a momentum using the energy of the young adult, that enthusiasm, that yay, rah, 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 it's just going to fizzle. Because they just don't follow through.
Thank you, Galexis.
You're welcome.
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
This is a wonderful workshop.
Thank you, dear one.
There's so many of my questions that are being answered, you know, faster than I can think of here. But I would like to stay with that last one.
Yes.
And the question is about passion and the young adult. It's like in my business now, it's like the way I've been doing this for 30 years. And the business itself has great people in it. And everybody is very good at doing what they're doing. And I am not doing very much anymore. And, you know, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But passion, it's like I somehow feel I've forgotten what I'm passionate about.
Right. That's because you didn't really get the balance that you needed to have. Because, the young adult's not there. And you've relied a lot of times on your young adult for passion.
Right.
The young adult's desire of input and passion and enthusiasm is only for something new.
Yeah, I mean, I suddenly have something that interests me.
Right, the young adult's not going to
read all about it, and it's a lot of fun and stuff like that.
You're right, right. Yeah, and the young adult goes to sleep after a while, you know, if you go on a business too long. So the reason we say balance is very important is because if you have the appropriate balance of fun to your work and you really enjoying your body and so on, then you will still have access to the young adult. It's kind of will keep him enough awake to have that enthusiasm and that passion aspect of you more at the surface, more available to you. And so if you want to get more passion in your life, then we would suggest start having more fun. Is that real hard to do?
I seem to have forgotten how to have fun.
Well,
I know
there
I
you go.
Out and I have fun, okay?
See, now, that's part of a reality creator's job, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but, I mean, I have all these options. I have lots of time.
Well, good. Well, good. So you have to sit down and write out with a notepad because, you know, now you have to organize it, right? Okay. What I like to do for fun. And you sit there and you look at the blank page holding your pen. Okay, if you can't think of anything to do right now for fun, then think, well, what did I do when I was 18 or 20 for fun? Now, admittedly, it's not mature fun, perhaps, but you got to start somewhere. You understand?
Yes.
So you write down, okay, party all night and booze and blah, 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 whatever the young adult wants to do, right? Okay. Okay, what does a 22-year-old want to do for fun? They like to travel and... Okay, so write down what the young adult would like to do for fun. Okay, then underneath the young adult, then say, okay, Think about it. What did you like to do for fun when you were 30? Or were you already Mr. Serious by then? So start thinking about it. What did you used to do for fun? Where would you go to escape? And what would you do for your quote-unquote escape time? What did you do outside of work? What was the most rewarding for you? All right, so maybe then you said, okay, I go to really interesting seminars. Okay, good, good. All right.
That I do. And that's
yeah,
fun.
You do that. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fun. And then after the seminars, what do you do with the material of the seminars? Is there anything you do further that's fun with it? Or is it kind of like that's the burst of fun and you do a little work and so on and so on and integrate it in and then, okay, next seminar. Well, how do you work that?
Yeah, pretty much like that.
Oh, all right.
But I mean, I think about it all the time. There's very little things that I do in my everyday life that I don't relate to.
All right. Yes, we understand. You need to start having more balance. Because, you see, as a reality creator, you're doing a really good job of your analysis. Yeah, okay? Here's what's going on. Look how the energy's moving. Look what's happening here. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm thinking and feeling. Okay, you're getting pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're getting pretty aware of how things move and things function and how to work energies and so forth. You're getting pretty good at it. The balance to that is having fun. Okay? And once you start having a balance, the access doors to passion can open up. You can wake up your young adult and say, hey, young adult, let's grow you up now. Let's mature you, the passion a little bit and see what a passion of my current self could possibly look like. If you have difficulty with that, even at that stage, we would suggest do something that is very unusual for you. Just something that's different and out of the blue. Keep doing things you've never done before. Like we recommended one time to Daniel to go and take a pottery class. Well, Daniel never saw himself as much as, you know, kind of a creative artist type of person. And so that was something way out there he would probably never have thought of doing. But he went to a pottery class and he created some really interesting, interesting pieces, some charming pieces, you know, and it was just different. It stretched him. It gave him a little different look out. Yes. All right, get this. The piece that's really charming, very colorful piece. We have it sitting there in his room with big colorful parrot feathers sticking in it, okay? Isn't that charming? The parrot feathers match the colors that he has in this kind of strange vase that he made. It's really a really delight, you know? Well, strange can be very charming. Charming is sometimes has this kind of extra reality jump at you. You know, you look at something, you go, there's an energy there. It just says, I'm me. It just has a unique energy about it. And yeah, it may be very different from anything else you've ever seen, but it has this unique energy and it's kind of proud of itself. And as this piece has this kind of this type of energy, that makes it very charming. It's something that could have been fashioned by a being from the fairy realm, you know? It's very charming. So what we would suggest is doing things that you just don't normally do. And of course, it's really easy to take classes in something that I've never shown an interest in that. Well, take a class in it and play with it. Because anytime you do something that's new, that you haven't done before, it wakes up your young adult.
It's definitely true that for many years I have lived in a very sort of strict routine. I don't go out and do things.
Ah, routine.
So, oh, yeah.
Well, you learned routine from your at your mommy's knee, right? You do want to break routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't really have a lot of fun if you're in a routine.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
You want that flexibility. You want that fun. And so then we would say, if you want to break a routine, you know, it's kind of fun to do that too. Is that you do your routines in different order first. That's where you start. You kind of do them in different order. And it's like, well, this seems strange because I've always done this after this. And you just kind of reverse them. It may not make any sense. Actually, it may not be useful at all. But just to do it that way just kind of creates this kind of different energy. It kind of breaks this kind of routine is a rut. It's nice to have routines, you know, so that you know how to remember how to eat your food and go to the bathroom and basic stuff. But you don't want routine about living your life. You know, in the overall perspective. So do a day and just everything that you do routinely, do it differently. Okay. And this is a creative stretch. It forces you to imagine and say, okay, how do I brush my teeth differently? You know, just silly stuff like that. But it starts getting you to break out of limiting traps that were there. Routine for you used to be a very comforting thing. And it's not comforting actually anymore. It's just what it is.
It had a lot to do with safety.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's the comfort you get. You feel everything's familiar and you feel comfortable and oh, that's nice. And so you would wake up in the morning rather than going, oh my God, what's going to happen today? You say, oh, I've got my routine. I start with my cup of coffee or tea and then I have my breakfast and it's just a sense of comfort there. But it's not working really that much for you anymore. It's just a routine now. Because you have enough security that you can now play with it. So there's a lot of ways you can do that. And when you do that, you will actually bring alive more energy in you. Because when you break a routine, see, a routine requires very little energy.
Right.
It's for people who are really sparse on energy. Routines are very good because they have a certain efficiency about them. But they also hook you into consensus reality. Man is machine mode. So they require very little energy. We can operate on low, really on low. You see? But when you change it, it activates certain circuits in your brain and it pulls more energy into your system. And you actually will probably get more physical energy by breaking routines.
Yeah, I mean, what I realize is that the times I really have fun is when I'm out in the world being spontaneous in some situation.
Yes, spontaneous. There you go.
Yeah. And it's fun and I like it.
That's right. So there you have fun. So you want to do more of that. And eventually, as you do more of that and your life is in a really nice balance, and you have such a wonderful opportunity right now to get your life into balance, as we were talking about earlier, a pivot place. Here you are at a pivot place. You can just recreate your lifestyle. You've got some flexibility available for you here. So it's delightful. All right? It'll come. The passion will come.
Thank you.
As we've mentioned before, also passion is hormones. So you might want to do some healing work on your body. And the more fun you have, the more your hormones will activate, and then the more opportunity for passion will come. That's on the physical. It'll work that way chemically.
All right.
Because, you know, the young adult has the highest hormones. They hit in adolescence, but it's the young adult, man, those hormones peak levels. And hormones really support passion. All right. Next. Thank you very much.
Let's give it to Kate.
Hi, Galexis. It's Kate.
Hi.
I'm going to break out and get a little vulnerable here and just describe. I'm really loving this discussion, and I would love your direction for putting energy and really be way more conscious about how I put energy, invest energy into manifesting my reality. I think I'm working with momentum in my career where I've got a good situation going as a contractor, and I'm just kind of free with it. I'm not stressing on it, and the contracts are coming, and they're, you know, people are now asking me and waiting for me to do the next project. So I feel comfortable there. And the young adult wants to do something else. I want to take workshops in energy medicine, and I want to expand myself in that realm. And then there's the old story in my marriage of 20 years, and the peak in prosperity we had, and that it's now threatened, and so there's a lot of drama and fear going on in my home situation that has a potential to be totally transformed, and big money coming in again with my husband's success if that would be available. But and so I've done a lot of processing to try to clear that out, and I just you know, it's a painful, ugly reality right now at home. And
is that painful and ugly between the two of you, or is it because strictly because of the financial struggle or whatever issue
both.
That is?
It's both. So you know, I've done a lot of work to change that, and I think where you know I wanted to move out of the paradigm where I signed up in this marriage to be the woman who was taken care of. And now I am really knowing a lot more of my own empowerment and wanting to make that alive and well and real in my life completely. So my question would be to you, how best to heal the situation at home so that I continue on this path of empowerment and more freedom.
All right. All right, first of all, realize that you can be empowered in any situation. Now, we know that you know that theoretically. Can you be empowered if you're financially dependent? Can you feel empowered when you're financially dependent?
That's tough for me.
Right, right. The reason we're going there is because there's a part of you that associates your financial success or your generation of financial success with your empowerment.
Yeah.
And we would like for you to separate those two things.
I'm tracking here.
All right. Because if you keep them together, any fluctuations in money will be fluctuations in power. You see, you don't want to link that way. You don't want to overvalue financial success because you are a powerful reality creator. Whether you're being supported by someone, you create someone who can support you in grand style. Marvelous creation if you own it. All right?
Yeah. And I get, you know, I can go there with my vision.
Yes. Good.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. We're not saying that's what you should do.
No, I understand.
No, but we're saying that you need to be able to feel empowered regardless of what's going on at home and what's any issues between you and your husband, anything that could threaten anything that you consider supportive of your power, you need to recognize that that's not your power. That's the drama. And that you are creating the drama to reflect to you places where you have given your power away.
Yeah. Okay. I've given my power to money.
Yes.
I've given my power to the man in my relationship, because that's the pattern. That's,
well, that was your training.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And if he seems to be doing okay, then how do you feel? See, he's not really okay right now.
No.
Energetically, there's turbulence there.
Well, he has metastatic colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling horrible, and he's in a real life death struggle right now.
Right. And if he dies, what happens financially?
Actually, if he die, if he would, if, you know, it's just, and this is the, if he were to die today.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's like that. I mean, he could develop it, so it's like that. Or he could live for, you know, the current medical prognosis would say 2 to 3 years, okay. Then things would kind of level out. I would have some cash flow to make the changes to continue my life and know my empowerment, and, you know, things would be fine. There's a tough thing right now with cash flow. And there's this possibility that he's been working on for a dozen years of really being successful in market investment.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I've been trying to coach, you know, trying to say yes and trying to be the cheerleader on the sidelines for 12 years, and then going through the dips of belief and then despair. So.
All right. So take your power back from money.
Yeah.
And keep doing it day after day after day, because you were given a song and dance routine about how money was going to provide you all these wonderful things. And even though you know it doesn't necessarily, it does make life a bit easier, doesn't it?
What?
To have money. Really, you know, you have more flexibility, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But it doesn't give you your life. It doesn't give you your freedom. It doesn't give you your power. So, and you're having difficulty detaching yourself. And if you know, your power from money, you're having a rough time with that. You spent a lot of time trying to support your husband's emotional body.
Yeah.
And his emotional body is not particularly receptive.
Yeah.
You know, so he has an issue that's going on right now with old senses of powerlessness and frustration and shame.
Yeah,
and he is wallowing in it.
He's a Holocaust survivor.
What's that?
He's a Holocaust survivor.
All right. Well, there you have it. Bye. So survival issues is where he mobilizes his greatest strength.
Yeah.
So in a sense, he didn't feel that this 12-year project was going to go anywhere unless he could mobilize his greatest strength.
Yeah.
All right, so here you rah-rah for him, and he was feeling ashamed of himself that somehow or another he could not get this major wealth thing, this market thing that was going to be the epitome, the pinnacle of his life.
Yeah.
It was going to finally take him out of fear of survival issues, fear about survival issues. It's going to finally take him to a place of security. He was going to finally be happy. He had a lot invested in money.
Yeah.
Right? So you supported him in that investment in money.
Yeah.
And as you did that, when he went up, you went up. When he went down, you went down.
Yep.
Right? Because you saw his success as critical to your success, to your life, to yeah. your power, right? And right now, all his success, his life, his emotional body, all of this, you're removing it from your power matrix now.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one because you don't have the, we're not given the template of where to move your power to. So you moved it into money and your own money.
Yeah.
You moved it into your own fulfillment. Okay. We would suggest that for you, you have a tremendous number of gifts, which actually, building your own business and so forth, have enabled you to actually activate. It's quite delightful to see. And so in that sense, it's been a wonderful growth experience for you.
Yeah.
It's really opened up a lot of doors for you so that you have a bit more self-reliance than you used to have.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no clue as to how strong you really are. Not yet. You're going to discover it fairly soon, but you don't really seem to know it right now. What we would recommend for you is to have a nice, juicy series of meditations where you meet. Oh, goody. You like those. Where you meet the self of your future, your future self. 3-4 years down the road. And she's on the other side of this whole issue. All right? And just hang out in her energy field and just feel how grand that is. Okay?
Yeah.
To give you just a little support right now. And also the meditation we're going to do later, you're going to get the forces of nature in there. And that's going to help you feel a little better too. Because you don't feel you have the support energetically. You're giving your energy away. You give it to your job, you give it to your husband, you give it to your worry, you give it to money, you're giving your energies away.
I give it to my daughter too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. So you're kind of pulled between all these different things. And so where are you giving energy to Kate? Where do you really nourish and restore yourself?
In meditation.
In meditation, okay. All right, where does your body get restored?
Yeah,
your body's not always thrilled about meditating.
Yeah, exactly. And so after last night, it was such a wonderful experience last night. My body and I are having a good time. And
good.
Yeah, we're just, you know, rocking. And so we're in partnership again.
Good.
Forever. And thank you. Yeah. So yes. We're exercising. I mean, not actually, you know,
you're moving.
We are going to be moving. Yes.
All right. Okay. So you focus right now. Let this time period, you're in a time period with all this change going on, all this possibilities being presented, all the turbulence. Don't buy into his turbulence.
Yeah.
It's too easy to do. And we know you're trying to extricate yourself from it. But when you give your power away to him, to his emotional body, to however he feels, if he really feels bad, he's grumpy, isn't he?
That's a nice way of saying it.
Well, yes, we're being euphemistic, okay? He's probably downright hostile, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that when the barbs come out?
Because
they can be quite hurtful.
I have actually, he's been in my life, so I knew how to stand up and be who I am.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Then how do you deal with the barbs?
So I stand up to them and I tell him that his anger is pervading this house and it's not okay.
All right. Here's what we would suggest. Just revise that little languaging just a little bit. The anger and the hostility that I am feeling, you directing at me, I am unwilling to receive. I don't deserve to be treated this way. I have loved you, supported you, and been by your side. And I don't deserve to be treated. Regardless of how you feel, and I have compassion for how you feel, it is inappropriate, and I refuse to be treated this way.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Because if you say that his anger is, you know, filling the house and whatever, he just takes that as a judgment. You're on the game board with him. Then he feels justified in his hostility. Plus, see, she's judgmental. But if you say, okay, no, here's the boundary. If you want to be hostile, go be hostile at somebody else. Not at somebody who cares for you, who has supported you, who is your mate. You see?
Thank you.
All right. All right. So that's just one thing. And of course, you have to take all the judgments out, which you've been, we see that you've been working at that, dear one. And that's good. Yes. You've been trying not to judge all the stuff that's been going on there and not to judge yourself either. So you've got some new, you're going to have some new tools after this workshop is done. And in these tools, we would highly recommend that you surround him, your husband, with light and love, and ask his crew, his spirit helpers, to just work with him to the best of his intentions. And you pull yourself and your power back to you and focus on having a good time and feeling good and loving yourself and having a joyous time with your body.
Yeah.
Okay? We know that you may even feel guilty having fun when he's going through suffering.
Yeah, but it's getting better on that.
But that's just because you're pissed at him for doing all this suffering and doing all this hostility and doing all this stuff that he's doing. After all this time, it's like it didn't get easier. You thought it was going to get easier, didn't you? You thought finally he'd soften up and he'd kind of relax and he'd get successful and everything would be hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But he has an issue with survival, and he's revving up his energies. And so he's got to fight for his life rather than for his business or his financial dream. He thought he was going to pull it together for the financial dream, but that financial dream for him was going to be the pinnacle of his life. It may still happen, but it will happen just before he dies, if he doesn't have a new dream.
Yeah.
But he can't seem to get out of the trap so far of a dream of survival.
Yeah, it's like his survival will, his fight for survival had to get to such a pinnacle that's where he will take the energy to create.
Well, that's where
success.
His power gets revved up. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what enabled him to survive before. He pulled on his power, and it pulled him through, and now he's got to pull on his power to pull himself through. But he doesn't see a future particularly, except maybe that market thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And that market thing will finally redeem all that shame and all that poverty that he had to go through and all those horrible experiences. It will finally justify all the suffering he's done. So he's got a heavy load going. You know so much, and you have so much caring and compassion that if you're not careful, you can drain yourself just dry. So put your energy into yourself, because then you're much better mate for him. He needs boundaries.
Yeah.
It's basically his not having boundaries. The Holocaust took away all his structure. That gave him his greatest imprints and greatest fears. And you don't want to, in a sense, right now all his boundaries are being broken, and you don't want to be one of them. You don't want to be broken too.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Your spirit is too bright. You've got so much that you're going to do ahead of you. You've got the imprints of a very long life. He doesn't, which is obvious, okay, but he doesn't. But you do, because you have like tremendous forces just waiting to be tapped. But you can't tap them if you're giving your power to him or to money. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still extricating. Your future self has taken all her power back and is living a life of joy and success and richness in her body. So just go and plug in and get infusions and claim that and bring that back to the present. Just keep doing that.
I can do that, and I am very grateful. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear one. Quite an intense situation. You see, in the whole situation of shame in your culture, the way it's arranged is that some men will die to try to create a success that will finally redeem their shame. It's just, or they will have, okay, I want to be happy, and that's my dream, all right? I'm going to be happy, and everybody's going to see I'm successful. And as soon as they come close to it, it's like, okay, time to leave now. or time to have a snapback, because his image never could grow up to it. And right now his image is such that we don't see that the market thing will ever pan out unless he expands his image. And his image, his point of focus is divided between the present and back there. He's got another point of focus back there at the Holocaust that's holding him fast. Every one of you have had this experience that there's been a point in your past that something of such great magnitude happened that changed your life, that you have a hook there. You have a point of consciousness there, and you left that point of consciousness there when you moved to this point. But you left a piece of yourself there. Now in the shamanic tradition, this is called soul retrieval time. A piece of your soul got lost. You see, he lost a piece of his soul there. So, and many of you who have experienced something very, very dramatically, huge change, leave a piece of yourself there. And it keeps resonating in your past. And as long as that resonates in your past, your self-image is never going to be able to stretch to where you want to go, to that point you want to go to, what you call the future. So one of the things we will be doing in the meditation is we'll be removing, if we can find a point in the past that you may still be investing too much of your consciousness into, and therefore reducing and diminishing your self-perception. Okay. All right, next. One more.
Yes, Michelle.
Hi, Alexis. It's Michelle.
Ah, hello.
How are you?
We're fine.
I know, you're fine.
But thank you for asking.
So I've been a jewelry designer for 35 years. I started when I was 15, and now I find myself in a place where I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up. I find it really difficult to do how I've been doing it, and I haven't found a new way to do it that,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, do you feel that you've kind of exhausted mm-hmm. that focus?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've just done it for so long that I'm not quite sure where to go at this point in my life, or, you know, I've so identified with it. It's who I've been for so long.
Right, right, right. And what we would suggest is you just kind of get a sense of how your identity is wrapped up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And get a sense of the size and the breadth and the depth of it. Just kind of get a sense of the largeness of image that's there. And if you look at that self-image, can you see the seriousness that's there?
Mm-hmm. I've always been very serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, dedicated, focused, mm-hmm. serious at it, you know, like so.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say that's kind of what ruined it for you. Mm-hmm. It's like you come to the end of that, okay? Mm-hmm. Because we notice that when you imagine where you want to be energetically and who you want to be, we don't see you that serious. You know, when you're dreaming yourself mm-hmm. in the future,
mm-hmm.
if you notice how you dream of yourself in the future, you're just kind of easygoing and things, mm-hmm. and it's like, wow, you're not nearly as serious.
I mean, I have a really goofy side about myself, and You know,
mm-hmm. We know that.
Mm-hmm. And I've spent a fair amount of time there, but this last couple of years has gotten very serious for me.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, well, the seriousness actually is the downside of a gift that you have. Mm. And we'd say that you have a whole bunch of gifts that you developed during your years in your jewelry trade. You had certain amount of creative capacity. Mm-hmm. You have imagination. You have ability to manifest. You know, you have an idea, you have a design, you have a something, and you put it together, and voila, there it is. Beautiful. Beautiful. You have that, that seriousness is your ability to focus and concentrate on something in which you are interested. Mm-hmm. Okay? You've got lots of beautiful gifts. We'd suggest that you might even make it a process for yourself to get a pad, notepad and a pen, and write down all the gifts, all the capacities, talents, and abilities or whatever that you've developed or that you've had that enabled you to do the jewelry work with such success. Mm. All right? Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, look at these gifts that I've got here. What would I like to add? How would I like to expand on what I have here? And start thinking, dreaming yourself at a point in the future when these gifts have been transmuted into a new form. Mm-hmm. That you're creating some new form. You're good at creating. You know, really nice. And you have a new form to create with. But see, the thing is that you've been looking for a form first.
Hmm. That's true. I have been.
And form is the last thing to come. Which bamboozles most people. Because when you're in the material world and in your physical plane, culture, form is everything. Appearance is everything. If you appear successful, you can get away with lots of stuff. If you have the form, then you should be successful. If you have the right trappings of success, you should be successful. That form is what is important. The image is important. Look at, Hollywood. It's everything is image, mm-hmm. image. When you want to market yourself, image. Mm-hmm. Right? And they forget the image is really personal. It's self-image. But the thing is that the focus is so much on form that you think that when you make a decision to make for something new, you've got to figure out the form first.
I've gotten really stuck there.
Yeah. So don't figure out the form first. Figure out what gifts and what abilities you would like to engage in. Mm. Go there. What kind of way do you want to work with the physical plane? Do you want to work with your hands anymore? Do you want to communicate? You want to do more verbal stuff? You want to write? You know, that it's not to say that what the form is going to ultimately be of that, but how do you want to flow your energy into the physical plane? What's fun for you? So we would suggest to go on a journey of finding out what's fun.
I feel like Falco that way. I feel like I've been so serious at and so focused for so many years that
yes, yeah,
I don't quite know what's fun in terms of doing something that I sustain over a period of time. I mean, I know I have fun in the moment, but, you know.
All right. If you have fun in the moment, what is a quality of that fun? There's a certain feeling that comes with fun in the moment that makes it fun in the moment. So what is it?
Lightheartedness.
Yes. Yes. So what can you do to make yourself more lighthearted? Who was it that it was ill with cancer and they told him he was going to die and he went and he rented all sorts of... Yes, mm-hmm. Norman Cousins. Mm-hmm. And he went and he rented a whole bunch of funny movies mm-hmm. and read funny books and so forth. Anything to make himself laugh. Mm-hmm. And he laughed himself well. Mm-hmm. We think that the laugh cure would work for you.
It's true. I think it's... I have not... I mean, I used to be really good at being silly and... I haven't been silly
yeah,
for
haven't
a
been
really
silly
long
for a
time.
While.
Really long time.
That's really missing a good chunk mm-hmm. of life, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have the time to be silly.
Do you know, I had a I had a stroke a couple of years ago, and I was in a rehab hospital for 8 weeks. And because I was, I think, closer to my older self at that point, all I could see when I was there was how silly and funny all the different situations were. I mean, it was just, you know what I mean? It was all funny.
And you know that's how come you didn't succumb to it. That's how come you can be here today. Mm-hmm. That you can actually walk, move your body from one place to another, talk, and express yourself. Mm-hmm. Think of how many people who have had strokes who can't do diddly. Mm-hmm. Okay? You laughed yourself well right there.
I actually had a really good time when I was in the hospital.
Right. Because you didn't have the burden and the obligation sitting on you.
No, I didn't have to do anything.
Okay, so take that weight off of you energetically now. All the weight of having to figure out what you have to do and to do it well and all that stuff. You know who's talking there? Internal parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mommy or daddy, you know?
Mommy.
Mm-hmm. You know, pointing at you. Okay, now it's time for you to, you know, get it done now. You know, you gotta, you know, apply yourself. What? Use the gifts that the God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be frivolous. You know, pinch your pennies, whatever it is. All those things that came with that. Heavy, heavy, heavy weight. Heavy burden. In the hospital. Oh, I could just lie here. Wow. What a concept.
I know, I didn't have to do anything but go to my next therapy session.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything.
Right. So take that pressure off of you now, in your imagination. What if you didn't have to do anything? You didn't have to do anything. And you just wanted to feel lighthearted. What would you like to do?
You know, I probably would go out for a coffee with my friends and, you know, read books. And I mean,
okay.
I like doing physical stuff. You know, that was a really big outlet for me, doing physical stuff. And I, you know, I'm really inhibited in doing that kind of stuff right now. So that is something that I'd like to go back to.
All right.
You know, being able to flit around.
You flitted around?
I did. That was what
Serious,
I liked.
Serious, you flitted around?
Well, that was one of the things I liked about my job, was I liked actually going around to different parts of the country, going here, going there. I liked that. I liked being mobile like that. It got to be a burden because I overdid it. But
well, also, there was a point in your growth and development where all that mobility was kind of an escape from something, too. What do you want to do now? How would you like to create a lightheartedness? Okay, go out for coffee with your friends. What books would you like to read? Keep it light.
Mm-hmm. Keep it light.
Yeah, don't put pressure on yourself. Every time you put pressure on yourself, you slow time down.
Mm.
Anybody never notice that? And you still keep doing it? You know, that's when time really drags. So you're putting pressure on yourself. Okay, I really have to get to it now. I have to work. I've got to pressure, demand, right? They need me to do this. I have to do this. I have to. And then time gets really long. When, and you look at the time, when am I going to be able to leave and go dinner, you know? Whatever. So what we would suggest here is that you take that time pressure off of you and practice it every day. Because at this point, theoretically, there really isn't any pressure on you. There's really no load on you. There's no demand on you. You don't have a burden on you. It's your assumption. You take it on thinking that's going to make you a better person or something. Mm-mm. It just makes you serious.
Well, you know,
that's your old self, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true, you know.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a couple of customers that want me to design things for them right now, and I just feel it feels like a burden to do it, you know, rather than a joy to do it.
Right.
I just feel like I don't know. I feel like I can't even muster my energy to do it at this point. To figure
right.
out
your
something.
Your motivations are done with this. You know, it comes a time, and this is a surprise to many people when they go into a certain type of activity that's a passion for them. How sometimes the passion dies. Mm-hmm. And then they exhaust all the enthusiasm for learning new things in that area. And after a while, it's like, okay, I did everything I wanted to do here. It's like, okay, you open a drawer and you clean it up and it's all neat and clean. You close the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's coming time to close this chapter too.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, if you put a pressure on you and feel it as a burden to design these things, you know how long it's going to take you to get the energy together to do it, mm-hmm. The motivation. You know what you have to do to get yourself motivated to do that? You have to overcome the resistance of the burden demand energy. And then, so then you have to use twice as much energy, and then you have to add more energy to your motivation. That's the whip, the taskmaster self has to get activated, mm-hmm. so that you can do it. And by the time you do it, you're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I knew that wasn't going to be fun, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It validated all the crap. So, dear one, take the resistances out. Take all the pressure and burden out and give yourself permission not to even ever, ever, ever design those pieces. Now, if you accepted money for them, yes, you are committed.
No,
okay. So tell them that you're on a little bit of a sabbatical right now and you haven't gotten a really good idea and you apologize, but for right now, you're just not going to come up with it.
Hmm.
And beg their pardon or whatever you feel like you need to do and get it to the point where you feel they're off your back. Take those two projects off your back. Okay? Mm-hmm. Free yourself. Get yourself free. Read some light, funny books. Watch some funny movies. Do lighthearted things. And don't really focus on what I have to do. Focus on what do I want to do now? What do I want to do in 5 minutes from now? Don't even worry about what you want to do an hour from now. What do I want to do now is best? Okay?
Well, you know,
you have to rebuild your motivation, dear one.
Hmm.
Your motivation sucks.
It does. I agree. It's all, it's a lot of duty and obligation.
Right. And you have to divest yourself of that. And you'll have every excuse and every reason in the book that you need to keep it. And you'll have to just say no.
Well, you know, I have this situation where I had an employee embezzled from me that just came up. And so I've spent the last 2 weeks dealing with trying to figure out what went down and put the business back together and, you know, take legal action and go after her and all this stuff. And it's been, I mean, this is not my favorite thing to do.
All right. And it's also part of the process of you dismantling yourself from the business. Isn't it? Isn't it, in a sense, you're coming to a closure of the business energetically?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you have to put the business back together. Are you thrilled about that? No.
Mm-mm.
You really didn't want to have the business together in the first place. You're looking for something else. You want to go on. You're ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But your motivation is flat. So you're going to keep recycling duty and obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice this. If you're wanting to manifest something, don't keep recycling duty and obligation. Take it off. It will always be there, dear ones, if you want it. Don't worry. Okay, I want some duty and obligation today. Yes, it'll be there. No problem. You'll have demands. Take it off. Learn to live free of it and think and motivate yourself outside of that. you'll get it done. Don't worry about it. All right. We must close now. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful thing. We know you can do it too. But just don't get your new motivation, build your new motivation by seriously dedicating yourself to building new motivation. Okay. You know, take the things that you love to do most, the gifts that you have that you enjoy, and amplify those and play with them. It's a creative time for you. It's a really, you're at a precipice of a new life, really, truly, an opportunity to redream. All of you can do that anytime you choose. Although on the planet right now, it's a very opportune time. Part of why we wanted to share certain things with you, this workshop. So what we're going to do is take a brief break. See if, 5, 7, 8 minutes. Yes? All right. It seems that on the schedule, 1 o'clock was written as lunch. Now, we didn't realize that. We thought 2 was lunch. So we wanted to do a meditation before sending you off to lunch. But it's all right with us if you want to do lunch first and then come to the meditation. What do you prefer, lunch or meditation and then lunch? Hey, you're the parallel future... parallel reality, you choose. All right, what would you prefer? Yes, how about that? All right, so let's take a 5-minute or just really brief break. Come back and we'll do a meditation before lunch, all right? All right, farewell.